Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah DeSanzo. I'm the general manager of IBM Watson Health. For 28 years, I have been at the intersection of healthcare and technology, and I am incredibly proud to be an IBMer and leading IBM Watson Health. The conversation that John and I had last summer was that nobody has the assets and capabilities that IBM has in cloud, in data, in security, in services that IBM has, and those are the assets that you need today to build a healthcare market and to help transform healthcare. What I'm going to talk to you today about is three things. First of all, trends in the industry, which make it a good time to be in the healthcare industry. Secondly, I will talk about that data and that cloud and our cognitive insights that make IBM the place that's going to transform healthcare. And finally, I'll be joined by my customers and partners who are building solutions on top of Watson to transform healthcare. So first, the trends in the industry. There are 150 exabytes of healthcare data in the US alone. And people say that it's doubling every 2 years. That means that clinicians cannot possibly keep up with the amount of information that is coming to them. That means that they are not sure at any particular moment if they are providing the best care pathway or the best treatment for their patients. It is an opportunity for cognitive to come in and help clinicians make those decisions. The World Healthcare Organization estimates by the year 2030, there will be $47 trillion spent in the world on chronic diseases, diabetes, heart disease, brain diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia, $47 trillion. What healthcare ministers in countries will tell you is that their countries cannot afford this price tag. With healthcare costs rising around the world, at the rate of healthcare costs rises, it means that governments will not be able to spend money on other things other than healthcare. It is the opportune time for cognitive to come in and help employers and providers and payers and governments understand what the costs are to treat chronic disease patients and provide pathways that are going to provide better outcomes at a controlled cost. In January, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid made a stunning announcement. For years in this country, healthcare has been paid for by a fee-for-service payment model, a cost-plus model. For the past few years, we have been experimenting with alternate payment models, accountable care organizations, bundled payments, pay for value. What CMS said in January of this year is for 67 metropolitan areas, actually, bundle payments are now mandatory for knee and hip replacement surgery. The industry was surprised that CMS moved so quickly to mandatory bundles. But even more importantly, what CMS has said is that by 2018, 50% of healthcare is going to move to a bundled payment or pay for value rather than fee for service. Provides a tremendous opportunity to help healthcare institutions understand what their costs are with cognitive so that they can operate within the bundle. And finally, we all know consumers, patients expect now their healthcare information on their iPads, on their watches, on their phones. And it creates a tremendous opportunity for the Internet of Things in healthcare. And Internet of Things, my colleague, comes up right after me to talk about. Here's the statistics that John was talking about. Global healthcare spending is $8 trillion. The Institute of Medicine in the United States says that one-third of that is due to maybe over-treatment, wrong treatment, fraud and abuse. We estimate that to be $2 trillion worth of waste in healthcare spending. We believe that the opportunity for IBM Watson Health in this space is over $200 billion. what can we help do? We can help create the pathways. We can help understand the costs. We can help payers, employers, providers understand their costs and how to work within that. We can help life sciences companies get to reimbursement faster, get to drug discovery faster. How do we do it? Here's the strategy of Watson Health. We start with a democratized health cloud. In that health cloud, we get the most data of anyone. We have, from our Phytel and Exploris acquisitions, 100 million electronic patient records. In order to understand the best pathways, you need the clinical data. We have 100 million patient records. That is more than any company anywhere. With our acquisition of Truven, we have 200 million claims lives. In order to understand the costs, you need to understand where the costs are. With the combination of the 100 million patient records, the 200 million patient lives, we have the largest database, the largest democratized database of healthcare information anywhere. We have 30 billion images from our merge acquisition. Watson can read those images. We work with 20 institutions across the U.S. on precision medicine and genomics to put genomics information into the cloud. And Watson has read over 500 medical textbooks. It's an amazing amount of data. It's more data than anyone else. And what IBM has done is really remarkable because we're putting it in the Watson Health Cloud and we're providing that data to our ecosystem of partners to develop applications off of it. So you have the data. You can do analytics on the structured text. You can read the images with image analytics, and you can do cognitive insights on the structured and unstructured data on top of the Watson Health Cloud. We'll do this in 5 areas. We'll do it in life sciences to help life sciences companies get to drug discovery with real-world evidence quicker, enable them to increase their level of reimbursement and get to reimbursement quicker. We'll do it in oncology and genomics, which my colleagues are going to talk about, how we're helping oncologists today find the right pathways for their patients. We'll do it in imaging, where, yes, Watson reads the images, takes those images, combines it with knowledge from the electronic health record text, and allows radiologists to get to diagnosis quicker and more effectively. We will help chronic disease, and my colleague from Medtronic is going to come up and talk about how Medtronic and other companies are developing with Watson Insights on top of the Watson Health Cloud to develop solutions to help chronic disease patients and their clinicians effectively deal with the rise in chronic disease. And finally, we do it in payments and values. Because in order for us to help transform healthcare and help healthcare institutions live within a bundled payment system, you need to know what the costs are in healthcare, what the best treatment is, and how that's going to lead to an outcome. The only way you can do that is to combine the data from the claims, from the electronic health record, put Watson on top of it to create the insights of how can we effectively deal with this disease state and what is the effective way to do it. IBM today, Watson Health, is the only company that has this data combined with Watson Insights that are going to be able to do this. This isn't an industry that exists today. This is a market that we're going to help build, we're going to help lead, and we're going to drive. We're going to make a difference in healthcare. One of the first places that we did this was in oncology. And how oncology has helped is actually what is on this slide. We start with a cloud that is HIPAA compliant, privacy compliant for healthcare, secure for healthcare. We add on top of that clinical and claims data, which is more than anyone else. We put our cognitive insights on top of it, and we develop it with an ecosystem of partners. One of the first places we did this was in oncology. And we did it because academic institutions in the United States said, hey, I saw how Watson can understand what the answer to a question is. That's the same thing I need to do when I look at one of my cancer patients. I think that Watson can help me in my oncology practice. And so I'm very pleased to call to the stage my colleagues, Dr. Craig Thompson, who is the CEO and president of Memorial Sloan Kettering, and Dr. James Meiser, who is the chief medical information officer of Bumrungrad International Hospital in Thailand. Craig is going to talk to you about how Memorial Sloan Kettering worked with Watson Health to develop Watson for Oncology, and Dr. Meiser is going to talk about how Bumrungrad has started to use it. Craig, over to you first.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, as Deborah just told us, one of the really important areas that's ripe for transformation with cognitive computing is oncology or cancer care. Just to put this in perspective, 50% of the men in America will face a cancer diagnosis in their lifetime. It's another area where women are catching up, and so 40% of women are going to face a diagnosis of cancer in their lifetime. It's an exciting and important time because we're in an era of genomic medicine that it's informing cancer is a more complex disease than we had previously expected. There are 400 different types of cancer a patient can come down with. There's new diagnostic information, from DNA sequencing to new molecular techniques to the opportunity to have different imaging platforms to provide more information to get the accurate diagnosis and therefore appropriately treat the patient the precise way that would best optimize their outcome. We have these colliding fields of the ways to treat cancer, from the traditional chemotherapy and radiation oncology that we know out that has been extraordinarily effective in some diseases, to the new approaches as precision medicine that are based on the molecular characteristics of the cancer, to the new approaches of harnessing our body's defenses in immuno-oncology. And this is occurring at a time when the doctor-patient relationship is more and more complex because the doctor has so many inputs and so little time, given reimbursement strategies, to spend with the patient. So it's a really difficult time to put optimum use for each patient as they face a diagnosis of cancer with their family, probably the most complex thing that they'll face in their lifetime. Well, I have the privilege to work at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. We're the nation's oldest and largest private cancer hospital. For 130 years, we've been devoted to improving the diagnosis and the treatment of cancer, first for the patients in the greater New York area, but ultimately the lessons we learned we want to export to the entire world. Because this is a global problem, as I'll talk about in a minute. In 1990, we realized, it's really what John Kelly told us about, that in fact we were accumulating a massive amount of information. So we partnered with IBM, starting in 1990, to digitize all of the information that we had, all of the patient records we had, all the outcomes. One of our principles as an institution is every patient we treat, we follow for the rest of their lives so that we know their outcomes and we record that data. And since 1990, that's been highly curated, digitized data built on a single platform. And so we realized, as Deborah was saying, when Watson showed us this wonderful example of winning Jeopardy, that we had the training set that John challenged us, the perfect training set to actually teach Watson about oncology. And so we formed a partnership with IBM 3 years ago. And we developed a team of physicians along with a team of the researchers that were part of the education process for Watson in healthcare, and they have been educating Watson over the last 3 years. Now, I have to give a little aside here. After the first week, the cancer specialist and subspecialist that we assigned to this project came back and said, you know, Watson's only as good as our medical students. Are we sure this is going to work? They came back in a month and they said, this is the best medical student we've ever met. Watson can't forget. And Watson's making the connections we always wanted the medical students to make. Well, let me fast forward 3 years. We've gone through 15,000 hours of training on our data set, reiterative learning between the healthcare professionals we have at Memorial Sloan Kettering and Watson as a cognitive platform. And it's ready to be a learned colleague. In fact, our physicians who trained it think of it as a learned colleague. Once Watson has the patient's information, it can instantly go and cull through the entire world's medical literature and find the literature most relevant to that specific patient. Not to the general disease of cancer, but to that specific cancer that that patient has, and can make recommendations about how to improve the accuracy of the diagnosis with new imaging techniques, new molecular tests that might make sure. 20% of patients treated in America today don't have the right diagnosis. Watson can improve on that. But more importantly, within seconds, it can prioritize that patient information to make treatment recommendations. And this is important. It makes a series of treatment recommendations, not one, based on the evidence and the patient's information, and provides that to the patient and the doctor experience so that they can discuss those potential options. Watson lays out the evidence by which each of those decisions might be made by the patient and the doctor. And this is key. It doesn't replace the doctor-patient relationship. It provides a colleague that can never forget the relevant facts and provide them so that they can be accurately and appropriately discussed by the patient and the doctor. Frees the doctor up for some more time with the patient and really face the issues that the patient and their family are facing. So where are we today? Well, Memorial Sloan Kettering, our trainees are ready to take Watson on rounds, and we're going to see how that goes. But we also have what we realized is the global solution we've been looking for 130 years. It's ready to go out and be a learned colleague for oncologists throughout the world. Today in the world, people under the 85, the leading cause of death, will be cancer throughout the world. As we have cured most of or have treatments of the infectious diseases that affected the emerging world, we find that cancer is emerging rapidly as the world's health is improving. And it's going to be critical to provide the updated and most important information throughout the world. IBM's a global solutions company, and so is Memorial Sloan Kettering. And so we're ready with the first Watson Oncology product to go out in the world. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. James Meiser, who runs or is the chief information officer of one of the leading healthcare institutions in Bangkok, Thailand, who has recently taken on the Watson Oncology project to tell you about his staff's experience. James.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. And Watson actually works. Watson for Oncology actually works. Just to reiterate how important this is, we are facing a crisis as physicians. I'm a pediatric oncologist. We face a crisis. We know more today about ourselves than we ever have known before, and we know more about our diseases than we've ever known before, and we only know a small fraction of what we will know 5 and 10 years from now. The molecular information about ourselves, how we handle drugs, and our susceptibility to diseases and conditions, and the amount of information, molecular information about our cancers is going to explode. And one of the things that I have been very worried about from my own practice is keeping up with all the information that's going to be increasingly available. Watson allows that to happen. Watson for Oncology allows oncologists to keep up, to keep current, and give current best practice recommendations to their patients. Just to comment on cancer in Asia, I'm currently living in Bangkok, Thailand. We serve a very large Asian population, very diverse. Cancer in Asia is increasing at a remarkable rate, for several reasons. One, the number of people is increasing dramatically. The number of people there are aging significantly. And the absolute increase in the incidence of cancer is increasing also at a significantly and alarming rate. These are multipliers that say that Dr. Thompson is absolutely right. Cancer is going to be a major, and it's going to be the major problem in the world in health, and it is going to potentially bankrupt countries. The hospital in Bangkok, Bumrungrad International Hospital, is a 580-bed hospital that serves 190 countries, and over a million patients every year come through for consultation. These individuals, many have complex diseases such as cancer, and we have a significantly prominent cancer program. Keeping up with the data is an issue for us, major issue. And Watson for Oncology, and our experience has been is just new, is already shown to be a dramatic help in this process. The our early experience is that we began the process of integrating the IBM Watson for Oncology with our hospital and our information system 7 months before we began, and we began just in December 2015. So we have a massive experience of 2 months with a and probably the one of the first institutions to really look at this in a practical way. And our early experience is one that the user interface is actually very easy to use. Most information services and information technology platforms for doctors are really a pain in the neck. They're difficult to use, and you have to have many, many clicks. I invite you to come to any hospital and try to use them. Watson for Oncology is really easy for our staff to use. And then I talked to our nurses and data input specialists as we were trying to coordinate the data. I said, do you like it? And they said, Dr. Meiser, could we put our data into there instead of our information system? It's that good. It's that easy to use. And so we really feel like that it's going to help our doctors. Then I asked the doctors, do they like it? And their early experience has been that it really does help them, makes their time more efficient, and it makes it more effective. So what does Watson actually do for the oncologist? And this is in the real world. They're sitting in their clinic or they're on the ward. They need to be able to integrate a tool into their lives and have it not disrupt their lives in a negative way, but help them disrupt their care in a positive way. And so the first thing it does is it helps actually organize the patient data so that the data that's required for the decisions that need to be made is available. You mentioned earlier that many, many cancer patients, and this has been my experience as well in pediatric oncology, the initial diagnosis and treatment is incorrect. And you can rarely retrieve that situation, and those patients very often die. So the first thing Watson does is it says, this is the data you need, and then it helps collect that data. The second thing it does is it looks at the literature and pulls out the relevant literature that's curated by Memorial Sloan Kettering. And then third, it takes the, and what that is called is going from, I call it data to real information. So it takes this vast sea of data out in the literature and moves it along to information. The second thing it does is take the wisdom of international guidelines for how to treat cancer and combines that wisdom with that information. And then third, it takes the judgment of doctors from the most prominent cancer institution in the world today, and all the data that they've collected for the last over 25 years, and with machine learning takes that judgment that with Watson can incorporate the information, the wisdom, and then the judgment to how to treat an individual patient with an individual clinical situation. That is called precision medicine, and as we go forward into the molecular age, it's going to become more and more precise. That's what we, and doctors have been doing this for years, but with much less input and with much more difficulty, taking much more time. So what is our experience, our conclusions about this? What is our summary of this? One, it's really quite easy to use. It's easy for our nurses, it's easy to learn, it's easy for our doctors. Number two, it provides real value in the process. It doesn't get away in the way of the doctors practicing medicine. As a matter of fact, it makes it easier. The doctors can say, this is a patient. I'm not sure about whether there's this particular problem, we don't know about the result of the CT scan, but I want to see. They can ask Watson and get an idea what the best treatment is, what it may be depending on the outcome of the next test. And it can do that truly in seconds. We can ask Watson across the internet from Bangkok, Thailand to Denver, Colorado, and get an answer back in seconds, integrating the entire medical literature, the patient's information, and all the guidelines. So in summary, Watson Oncology for us, and we don't have a vast experience, but we have started, and our doctors do like it. And our patients appreciate the opportunity for having an online, immediate second opinion from a pretty good source of data, all the medical literature, and a pretty good institution and data from that. So our physicians appreciate it, our patients appreciate it. And finally, it's important to understand that as we expand our medical knowledge about molecular therapies based on molecular understanding of disease, which we do not even have today, we do not even have this information today, when we get it over the next 5 to 10 years, Watson for Oncology will be able to not only deal with it, but it'll be able to give significant and important information to doctors across the world immediately based on this new information. And just to emphasize the complexity of medicine, Watson, because of that, Watson will never replace the physician, but it's going to be a great partner. Thanks very much.
Deborah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You will be able to see Watson for Oncology in the demo stations, and I want to ask you this, because sometimes to understand the transformation in healthcare that we will drive, you need to make it personal. And I know myself, if I get my diagnosis, I'm going to want my physician to have Watson for Oncology so that he has all the up-to-date information about my cancer and can find the pathway that's going to help treat me right the first time. That is the power of the transformation. Of course, additionally, we talked about chronic disease. And I mentioned to you that the World Health Organization estimates that by 2030, chronic diseases will cost governments and providers in this world $47 trillion. It is not a sustainable rate that we're on. And so we are very pleased to have an ecosystem of partners that are developing on top of the Watson Health Cloud with Watson Insights to help address the chronic disease situation today. One such partner is Medtronic, and so I'm very pleased to introduce Jeff Ruiz. Jeff is the Vice President of Diabetes Services and Solutions for Medtronic, and he's going to talk about their experience working with Watson. Thanks, Jeff.
Deborah and Jenny and John, thank you for having me, and we're extremely excited about our partnership and your support in helping us achieve our vision, which is to transform diabetes care together with partners. And before I get into that, I want to take a moment to just describe a little bit of the challenge that we deal with in diabetes and at the same time the opportunity that we have as a partnership. Diabetes is a horrific disease, as we know, and a prolific disease. Over 415 million people around the world live with diabetes. And to put that in perspective, I'll say it again, out of 7 billion people in the world, 415 million are fighting this chronic disease. It is on top of its proliferation. It's horrific from the standpoint that it's the leading cause of cardiovascular disease. It's the leading cause of adult blindness. It's the leading cause of lower leg amputations. It's the leading cause of kidney disease. And the list goes on and on and on. Diabetes causes all sorts of comorbidities. And as a result, the cost in the U.S. alone is $250 billion spent on the comorbidities associated and driven by diabetes. That's the challenge, that's the opportunity. And at the risk of oversimplifying the disease, in a nutshell, the name of the game is control. To the extent that a patient can get their glycemic or their sugar levels in control, they can mitigate and avoid some of these long-term complications. But it's not easy to do because diabetes is a self-managed disease. And there are multiple factors that are always in play. Patient is managing their diabetes every day, every week, hour by hour, minute by minute at times. And the healthcare system, as good as it is today and as much progress as we have made, the fact of the matter is that even the most compliant of patients might see a doctor at best four times a year, every 90 days, on average 10 to 15 minutes per visit. And then 97% of the decisions and the choices that get made that determine the outcomes are made by the patient themselves when they're alone. What do they eat? When do they treat? How do they treat? All day. Across multiple factors that they're trying to account for in their own minds. They're trying to account for all of the things that impact their glucose levels. It is stress, activity level, the food that they've eaten, how long ago they've eaten it, the time of day, the location, the weather, all of these types of factors are some of them pushing glucose levels up, some of them pushing glucose levels down at all times. And trying to decide when to treat and how to treat is what a patient is forced to do in order to survive and thrive in their own lives. Very challenging. Now, in a nutshell, when blood sugars are high, it's called hyperglycemia, and that's what leads to all of the horrific complications I referred to. But believe it or not, there's a more feared complication associated with diabetes. The biggest fear that anyone has living with the disease is what's called hypoglycemia, and that's when blood sugars go low. And it can happen to anyone with diabetes at any moment, and it can happen pretty quickly. When it happens, patients can become unaware of their surroundings, they can become unconscious, and it can lead to some pretty tragic events. They can go into comas, they can have a car accident, they can die in their sleep. This is why if you know a parent that has a child with diabetes, they always look tired, because they sleep with one eye open, and they literally get up 3, 4, 5 times a night to check the child's blood sugar, just to make sure they're okay, just to make sure they're alive. So you can understand when John talks about this area of decision support and companies going from digital to decision support, how important that is to a company like us. We've been digital for many years, but it's the decision support that needs to be provided to the patient at the right time, at the right place to make the right decisions. So how do we do this? Now, Medtronic has been the world leader in medical devices for diabetes management. Our insulin pumps and our continuous glucose monitoring sensors today are known as the most sophisticated way of managing diabetes. And they collect and stream continuously a tremendous amount of data that can be harnessed. The devices have the ability to help control and moderate the medication, the insulin that the patients are taking to try and regulate the blood sugars. But it still is the responsibility of the patient to put it all together, to then utilize the device. And that's where we have gaps. And that's where Watson comes in. As we look at all of this data, and today now have the capability of acquiring additional data through the Internet of Things, the wearables, the activity trackers, the scales, the location of the patient, the weather, the food intake, the tracking of the medication, even their own metabolism, we now have the ability to see things that we've never seen before. And one of the exciting things, as you can see up on the screen, is how we are working aggressively to bring this to market and commercialize the next evolution of our technology and our solution together. In our early research with Watson, we took 600 unidentified patients. We did a retrospective analysis on the data, and Watson was able to see some patterns and trends that now lead us to believe that we can predict, as Jenny said, these tragic hypoglycemic events up to 3 hours in advance. And just about any clinician, any expert, any endocrinologist in the world will tell you, 3 hours in advance is more than enough time to stave off what is ultimately a high risk of death. Very exciting for us. And not only is Watson providing these insights through the cognitive capabilities and strong analytical capabilities that it has, but we're also working with Watson for the cloud infrastructure behind this. You can imagine all of this data streaming in, customized down to the individual patient level, the infrastructure required, the capabilities required to do something like this in real time, interpreting that data, providing the insights, the recommendations to the patient and to the provider when it's needed in an instant, can only be done with a partner like IBM Watson. So we're extremely excited about what we're doing together. I'm perhaps even equally as excited with the progress that we're making as a collaboration. And we're doing more things as well. We are working on integrated care solutions where Watson is helping us to bring some of our other capabilities in terms of how we do patient management and chronic disease management. And Watson's helping us to further identify the patients who are emerging risk before we would have seen it before, so we can intervene sooner and coordinate the care with the physician and with the providers much sooner than ever before and stave off some of the emerging risks and some of these long-term comorbidities we discussed. And then at our core, we are a device company, and our goal has been from day one, and we are excited to have put the first evolution of this product into the market with our recent product introduction and making more progress every day to make it better, and that is our road to what is called the artificial pancreas, where the system, the device system, controls the glucose levels for the patient. And there's still a lot of work to be done on all of these fronts, but Watson is helping us advance the algorithms in our devices for our next-gen devices that will be more sophisticated and provide even more control. So with that said, I think you can probably tell that we are excited about what Watson is bringing to us. It didn't change our vision. It's accelerating how fast we're getting to the result. Ultimately, for us, we know one thing. We keep the patient in mind and take care of the patient. Everything in terms of business takes care of itself. And I'm so happy, Deborah, that you see the vision with us and your teams and our teams. And behind the scenes, we know how passionate they are in working toward this and have no doubt that we'll change diabetes care forever.
Thank you, Jeff. Us too. Thank you so much. Do you understand the implication? To get to that finding of a hypoglycemic event 3 hours before, Watson had to analyze 150 million data points. This cannot be done. Man, this has to be done with cognitive. This has never been done before. This is the new market that we're building. This is the transformation that we're going to lead with our ecosystem of partners. My last point was that patients and consumers expect their healthcare data to be on their phones, on their watches, on their iPads. This is another one of our ecosystem partners. It's called WellTalk. They've created this application, among others. This one is Cafe Well Concierge. It is for congestive heart failure patients to help them find places, healthy places to eat. So congestive heart failure patients can ask questions like, what do I do now? What should I eat now? And finding patients using this, a tremendous aid in their rehabilitation. So what are we doing here? We're starting with a secure, compliant healthcare cloud. In that cloud, we put more data than any other company, but we democratize that data so that an ecosystem of partners can use Watson Insights to create applications that are going to improve outcomes for cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, heart disease, help control the rising cost of healthcare, and increase access to care around the world. That builds a new market for IBM, and that helps us transform care. And with that, I'm very pleased to introduce my great colleague, Harriet Green, who's going to talk to you about the Internet of Things. Harriet.
Thank you so much.